Okay, here's your, do you hear your note? Batuk, C sharp, first black key. Play the note. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, when Krishna was taken to Mathura, along with Balaram, They were taken by Akura, who was ordered by Kamsa to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura so that they could be killed. But as it turned out, Kamsa was killed instead. At that time, Krishna was reunited with his original parents, Vasudev and Devaki. And then it was revealed to Nanda, Yashoda, and everyone in the Vrindavan side who had come. Now it was revealed that actually Krishna was the son of Vasudev and Devaki, that he had been switched at birth, and now he explained that he would like to spend some time with his real parents. So the residents of Vrindavan stayed for a while, and then they went back to Vrindavan. But it was explained that they left with half their mind, because Krishna was now in Mathura. They were going to return home to Vrindavan with only half their heart and mind, because they were too absorbed in loves and feeling of Krishna. Therefore, they experienced Krishna's bhava expansion. Krishna's bhava expansion is that expansion by which the devotee, out of so much love and devotion, actually sees Krishna even though he's not there. Their love and devotion, feeling of intense separation, the highest spiritual ecstasy. So that remembering Krishna is non-different than Krishna being there. Now, when Krishna originally arrived in Mathura, Krishna told Akura, because Akura naturally invited Krishna to his house. Akura said, "It would be my greatest ecstasy if you would come to my house." But Krishna said, "Not now, but later I'll come to your house." So it appears after Kamsa, Krishna did go to Akura's house. And Akura was feeling so ecstatic. And he was thinking, "Now my life is perfect. Krishna has come to my house." Now most of you, if not all of you, Krishna is in your house, is he not? You have altars. You're worshipping Krishna. You're feeding Krishna. So you also can say, "Krishna is in my house." Is not Krishna here? Right? Krishna is here. Radharani is here. Gornitai is here. And we also have Nrisimha Dev. We even have Lord Buddha Dev. Very auspicious. So when Krishna was there at Akura's house, Krishna gave Akura a service. He said to Akura, "I want you to go to Hastinapur," because they're in Mathura. Hastinapur is where?
Delhi,
where I'm going in February. Wow. One week I'll be there. I'll be the guest of the Khosla family. 1 week. I put that on my Facebook. So, Krishna said to Akura, "I want you to go to Hastinapur. What's happening with the Pandavas?" Because Krishna and the Pandavas, they are intimate. Especially who? Arjuna. Especially Arjuna. And we read recently, sometimes Arjuna is referred to as Krishna. And so somebody asked me, why is that? And I did the research. Because he looked like Krishna. Uddhava also. Because when Uddhava went with the message, the gopis at first thought, oh, Krishna has come. Oh. But they said, who is this fortunate girl that has him as her husband? Because he looks just like our Krishna. So Akura was sent to Hastinapur to find out what's happening with the Pandavas. Now, doesn't Krishna already know that? Yes or no?
Yes.
How does he know?
He's omnipotent.
Huh? How does he, but how does he know everything?
He's in their heart.
He's in their heart. Of course he knows. Yes, he's in their heart. He knows everything. Not Santa Claus. He knows anything. No. That's Krishna. Not that stupid Santa Claus. Some made up thing so that they can make money. Another ploy of the Vaishyas. So, when Akura went to Hastinapur, he had to see somebody, Dhritarashtra. So let's find out what happened when Akura visited Dhritarashtra. I'm reading to you from one of my most favorite books, Krishna book. Everyone, now I want you to go into samadhi. I want you to really concentrate and turn off all your cell phones now. Turn them off. That's up to you. That's up to you. But I want you to really get absorbed in this. I want you to really feel this. Thus ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Akura visited Hastinapur. It is said to be the site of what is now New Delhi, the part of New Delhi still known as Indraprastha, is accepted by people in general as the old capital of the Pandavas. The very name Hastinapur suggests that there were many hastis or
elephants.
Because the Pandavas kept many elephants in the capital, it was called Hastinapur. Keeping elephants is very expensive. To keep many elephants, therefore, the kingdom must have been very rich. And Hastinapur, as Akura saw when he reached it, was full of elephants, horses, chariots, and other opulences. The kings of Hastinapur were taken to be the ruling kings of the whole world. Their fame was widely spread throughout the entire kingdom, and their administration was conducted under the good counsel of learned Brahmins. After seeing the very opulent capital city, Akura met King Dhritarashtra. He also saw grandfather Bhishma sitting with him. After meeting them, he went to see Dhritarashtra's brother, Vidura, and then Kunti, Akura's cousin. One after another, he saw King Balika and his son Somadatta, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, Karna, and Suyodhana. Who's Suyodhana?
Duryodhana's brother.
Huh?
Duryodhana's brother?
No, but you're close. Suyodhana is what? Yes, another name for Duryodhana. Why he would be called Suyodhana, I don't know. But that was another name of Duryodhana. What? War. All right, so that's why he's called Suyodhana. All right, very expert in war. We have, yes. That's why I have to choose my words very carefully in this crowd. This is, you know, these are the major leagues here. All right. Then he saw the son of Dronacharya. Who's that? Ashvatthama. As well as the five Pandava brothers, namely Yudhishthir, Bhim, Arjun, Nakul. I think Nakul and Sahadev are here. There they are. And other friends and relatives living in the city, all those who met Akura, known as the son of Gandini, were very much pleased to receive him and inquire about the welfare of their respective relatives. He was offered a good seat at his receptions. Are you all, did you all accept a good seat here in Gundam Loka? Everybody's? Okay. And he in turn inquired all about the welfare and activities of his relatives. Since he was deputed by who sent him there? Krishna, to visit Hastinapur, it is understood that he was very intelligent in studying a diplomatic situation. Dhritarashtra was unlawfully occupying the throne after the death of King Pandu. Despite the presence of Pandu's sons, who were Pandu's sons?
These five Pandavas.
Yeah, namely?
Yudhishthir,
Bhim, yes. Yes. This is an important here that is being made. He was unlawfully occupying the throne. Akura could understand very well that ill-motivated Dhritarashtra was much inclined in favor of his own sons. How many?
100.
Especially?
Duryodhana.
Suyodhana, yes. In fact, Dhritarashtra had already usurped the kingdom. What does it mean to usurp something?
Unlawfully take it.
Yes, who was telling us? Oh, yes. Sri Devi's mother was telling us about people who cheat and usurp. Where do they go? They go to hell. Whatever hell it is, does it matter? They go to hell. And hell is not a good place to go. Yes. 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 Hey, this is good. Hot form of man or woman, whatever the case may be. So, anybody want to go to hell? No. That's why you have to wear what? Kunti Mal. Yes. Tulsi Mal, so that you don't go. All right, let's continue. Come back now. Where are we? Hastinapur. Dhritarashtra had already usurped the kingdom and was now intriguing to dispose of the five Pandava brothers. What does that mean? Yes, kill them. When you dispose, like what you do with trash, you dispose it. Yes. Akura knew that all the sons of Dhritarashtra, headed by Duryodhana, were very crooked politicians. What about our modern day politicians? Are they also crooked? Huh? Same. Yes. Very good. Dhritarashtra did not act in accordance with the good instructions given by... So in this, it was mentioned, in this Hastinapur, who would have given Dhritarashtra good instructions? Vidura and Bhishma. Obviously, right? Bhishma's Mahajan, even though he's there, he's going to give... Instead, he was conducted by the ill instructions of such persons as Shakuni and
No.
Karna. Who said Karna? Very good. Karna. What is the relationship with Karna and the Pandavas?
Brothers.
Half brother. Half brother. Yes. Right? That's half.
Why is that?
Because who's his mother?
Kunti.
Before she was married. Who's the father? Right.
But in that
it's
sense, the
considered Pandavas. Half brother. Half brother, that's the term. No, they're Pandavas, they're full brothers. Don't say half.
No, because different mother. Different mother. Madri.
This needs. Okay, we'll put that on hold. No, there's a reason why. Wait. Slow down. I'll reserve judgment. For later.
I think he's talking about Pandu.
No. Okay, that's all right. I will reserve judgment for that.
Okay.
Just for a later date.
Okay.
Let's get back to Hastinapur. Akura decided to stay in Hastinapur for a few months to study the whole political situation. Gradually, Akura learned from Kunti and Vidura that the sons of Dhritarashtra were intolerant and envious of the five Pandava brothers. Because of their extraordinary learning in military science and their greatly developed bodily strength, the Pandavas acted as truly chivalrous heroes. They exhibited all the good qualities of Kshatriyas and were very responsible princes, always thinking of the welfare of the citizens. So that's a good prince or kshatriya. Thinking of the welfare, right, of the people. Unlike a certain political party at present who are doing everything to what? Tank the economy, yes? So that they will supposedly win the election. Right? And you had one big buffoon from the start. We are going to make Obama a one-term president, and no matter what he does, what does this guy say? No. Not good for the people, are they? They only think about themselves. We'll stop there. Everybody chant Hare Krishna. Akura also learned that the envious sons of Dhritarashtra had tried to kill the Pandavas by poisoning them. By poisoning them. You want to hear more? I want to hear more. And we now have 19 devotees online. Say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
So the whole chapter is called Ill-Motivated Dhritarashtra. I'm just doing certain excerpts. Ill-motivated. All right. Akura decided to return and report on the strained circumstances in which he found Kunti and her five sons. Kunti and her... No. Five sons. Oh, really? Prabhupada's wrong. Thank you very much. Don't mess with Prabhupada. Okay? All right. He first wanted to give good advice to Dhritarashtra, who was so favorably inclined toward his own sons and unfavorably inclined toward the Pandavas. In contrast, in the fourth canto, there is the story of Prithu. And it was described that Prithu, if his son was wrong, he would chastise him. And if the son of his enemy was right, he'd praise him. That's a king, a good king. Not that, oh, he's my son, it's okay. No. If my son does wrong, I will punish him.
Bharata did that.
Hmm?
Bharata did it too. Pandava's ancestor.
Yes. Let's continue. When King Dhritarashtra was sitting among friends and relatives, Akrura began to address him, calling him Vaichitravirya means the son of Vitravirya. Vaichitravirya was the name of Dhritarashtra's father, but actually Dhritarashtra was the begotten son, not of Vaichitravirya, but of Vyasadev. Formerly, it was the system that if a man were unable to beget a child, his brother could beget a child in the womb of his wife. This is called Devarena Sutotpati, one of the five acts that's forbidden in the age of Kali, according to Lord Chaitanya. That system is now forbidden in this age of Kali. Akrura called Dhritarashtra Vaichitravirya sarcastically because he was just like you. When I say Kundanloka, sarcastically you say Krishnaloka, right? Oh, yeah. He called him Vaichitravirya sarcastically because he was not actually begotten by his father. He was the son of Vyasadev. When a child was begotten in the wife by the husband's brother, the child was claimed by the husband. Why would it be claimed by the husband? What's the philosophy? Yes, the seed-giving father. That's the philosophy. Yes. The father is the one, like he just said, impregnates. Mm-hmm. According to third canto, the soul enters when? At the time of conception, and is specifically mentioned through the male semina. So it is the father who is, and Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father. Okay, good. Of course, the child was not begotten by the husband. This sarcastic remark points out that Dhritarashtra was falsely claiming the throne on hereditary grounds. Actually, Pandu had been the rightful king, and in the presence of Pandu's sons, the Pandavas, Dhritarashtra should not have occupied the throne.
Prabhu, question. Is Pandu also son of Vyasadev?
Who were the sons of Vyasadev? You're saying, then can you do the homework for us? And can you, Batuk? You're saying Pandu is the...
I'm saying because I saw that movie.
Don't go by movie. No movie business.
Because that's what shows to Dhritarashtra also.
Can you do the homework? That's your assignment. In Shastra, please. All in favor that he should do the homework? I mean, you brought it up, so okay. All's fair. All right. Not movie. I've seen so many things in movies. Let's continue. My dear son of Vaichitravirya, you have unlawfully usurped the throne of the Pandavas. Anyway, somehow or other, you are now on the throne. Therefore, I beg to advise you to please rule the kingdom on moral and ethical principles. If you do so, and try to please your subjects in that way, your name and fame will be perpetual. Prabhupada comments. Akrura hinted that although Dhritarashtra was ill-treating his nephews, the Pandavas still happened to be his subjects. Akrura said, even if you treat them not as the owners of the throne, but as your subjects, you should not partially think of their welfare as though... Oh, no, mistake. I got to redo that. Start again. Even if you treat them not as the owners of the throne, but as your subjects, you should impartially think of their welfare as though they were your own sons. You got that? That he should be impartial. Okay? If you do not follow this principle and act in just the opposite way, you will not be popular among your subjects. And in the next life, you will have to live where? Where is she back there? Hell, yes. I therefore hope you will treat your sons and the sons of Pandu equally. Prabhupada comments, Akura hinted that if Dhritarashtra did not treat the Pandavas and his sons as equals, surely there would be a fight between the two camps of cousins. And since the cause of the Pandavas was just, they would come out victorious. And the sons of Dhritarashtra would be killed. Did that happen? Yes, that's exactly what happened. Did any of Dhritarashtra's 100 sons live? They all died, every one of them. This was a prophecy told by Akrura to Dhritarashtra. Akrura further advised Dhritarashtra. Prabhupada also warned Mahatma Gandhi, did he not? What did Prabhupada write to Mahatma Gandhi? Get out of politics. Right.
Preaching. And help in preaching.
Yes, start preaching Bhagavad Gita. And he said, he warned them, otherwise you will meet the same kind of result as Hitler and others. And what happened?
He was shot.
He should have listened to Prabhupada. Right? That letter is there if you want to read Prabhupada's letter to Mahatma Gandhi. Kura further advised Dhritarashtra, in this material world, no one can remain an eternal companion to another. Only by chance do we assemble together in a family, society, community, or nation. But at the end, because every one of us has to give up this body, we must be separated. One should not, therefore, be unnecessarily affectionate toward family members. Key word, unnecessarily. Not that we're callous or cold, right? Unnecessarily, meaning not to the extent that you become sinful. You can have affection and take care of your family, but not like Dhritarashtra, who is committing great sinful activities, being partial to his sons. Prabhupada comments, Dhritarashtra's affection was unlawful and did not show much intelligence. In plain words, Akura hinted to Dhritarashtra that his staunch family affection was due to his gross ignorance of fact or his blindness to moral principles. So he was blind in two ways, right? He was physically blind, and he was blind in the heart to moral principles. Although we appeared combined together in family, society, or nation, each of us has an individual destiny. Everyone takes birth according to individual past work. Therefore, everyone must individually enjoy or suffer the results of his or her own karma. There is no possibility of improving one's destiny by cooperative living. Sometimes it happens that one's father accumulates wealth by illegal ways, and the son takes away the money, although it is hard-earned by the father. exactly just like a small fish in the ocean eats the material, just as a small fish in the ocean is eaten by a larger, older fish. Ultimately, one cannot accumulate wealth illegally for the gratification of one's family, society, community, or nation. An illustration of this principle is that many great empires which developed in the past are no longer existing, such as Roman, Greek, and British, right? Finnish. Who's next? You said it, not me. Thank you. Because their wealth was squandered away by later descendants. One who does not know this subtle law of fruitive activities and who thus gives up the moral and ethical principles carries with one only the reactions of one's sinful activities. One's ill-gotten wealth and possessions are taken by someone else, and then you go to the darkest region of what kind of life, Mataji?
Hellish
life. So just see, a sinful person will do all kinds of sinful activities to get wealth. All right, eventually that wealth is gone. What do you have left? Your sinful reactions. Just like my, and I've told this story many times, even recently in my travels. Somebody I know one day said to me, Prabhu, I go to temple, I give charity, I say my prayers, I'm trying to be good man, good husband, and I'm barely making enough money to live. My neighbor never goes to temple, he lies, he cheats, he steals, and he's fabulously rich. Maybe I should be like him. He was serious. Right? He was serious. He sees his neighbor drinking and doing all kinds of sin, living like a king. He's being pious and good. He's barely making enough. So he said, Prabhu, maybe I should be a demon. And I said, first of all, your neighbor is only enjoying the results of what he did previously. So what's he doing? Burning up the account. Burning up his good credits. The day will come, broke. Then he's going to get it. You don't worry. It's not that you can tell Krishna, hey Krishna, come on, smash it, will you please? I'm waiting, you know. No. Krishna works on his time scale. So I told him, you just be patient. The day is coming for this next door neighbor when Krishna will take everything and he'll be punished. You just be a good boy. Don't worry, you just be good. All right. One should not, therefore, accumulate more wealth than is allotted to one by destiny. Otherwise, one will be factually blind to his or her own interest. So does that mean we should be lazy, Krishna Kumar? What? Do your prescribed duty. You work. What you're going to get, that's up to Krishna. But you still have to do, just like Prabhupada used to say, it's not that Krishna told Arjuna, you sit on the chariot, smoke ganja, I'll do everything. That's not what Krishna said. What did Krishna tell Arjuna on the chariot? And at the same time,
think of me.
Think of me. Not just do your prescribed duty. Do your prescribed duty and? Ha ha. Very important. Remember, yeah, multitask. Exactly. Do your prescribed duty and think of Krishna. Okay? works both ways. Not that just think of Krishna and the work goes to hell. Right? You have to do your work in the office, in the school. Where is Sri Vallabh?
Right there.
Sri Vallabh, are you doing your prescribed duty? Are you thinking of Krishna? How about your sons?
Yes.
What? Uh-oh. Sounds like we have to have a session. All right. Otherwise, one will be factually blind to his own interest. Instead of fulfilling one's own self-interest, one will act in just the opposite way for one's downfall. Akrura continued, "My dear Dhritarashtra, I beg to advise you not to be blind to the facts of material existence. Material conditioned life, either in distress or in happiness, is to be accepted as a dream." How many times have you heard me preach that same point? This is something I preach a lot. Let's repeat what Akrura said. Material conditioned life, either in distress or in happiness, is to be accepted as a dream. One should try to bring one's mind and senses under control and live peacefully for spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada comments, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam. Oh, is there somebody named Nishkam here? Anta Eva Shanta. Ata Eva Shanta. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami. Shakali Ashanta. Except for persons in Krishna consciousness, everyone is always disturbed in mind and full of anxiety. Even those trying for liberation, or merging into the Brahman effulgence, or the yogis who try to achieve perfection in mystic power, cannot have peace of mind. Pure devotees of Krishna have no demands to make of Krishna. They are simply satisfied with service to Him. That's why, what is the meaning of the Maha Mantra? O energy of God, O God, please engage me in, not my service, in your service. It's a big difference. Because everybody else, give me, give me, give me. Lord, give me. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make, as a song. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes? Yes. Right? And that football player last year, right? He dropped the ball and he blamed God. He wrote on his Twitter, I praise you 24/7 and you do me like this? He was blaming God that he dropped the ball. No, the devotee does not. Like, Lord, engage me in your service. With that mentality, like that one Indian man, at New Dwarka, a long time ago, I didn't do what he wanted. If you don't give me what I want, I'm going to become a Christian. He was going to threaten me like... No. Whether Krishna gives, takes, whatever, right? What is Lord Chaitanya's prayer? Yes, whether you embrace me, or kick me away, or trample me, you're still my Lord. Unconditionally, yes. Pure devotees of Krishna have no demands to make of Krishna. They are simply satisfied with service to Him. Actual peace and mental tranquility can be attained only in perfect Krishna consciousness. After hearing these moral instructions from Akrura, Dhritarashtra replied. So, Akrura has preached. Now let's see what Dhritarashtra is going to say. My dear Akrura, you are very charitable in giving me good instructions. But unfortunately, I cannot accept them. A person destined to die does not utilize the effects of nectar, though it may be administered to him. I can understand that your instructions are valuable. Unfortunately, they do not stay in my flickering mind. Exactly, just as the glittering lightning in the sky does not stay fixed in a cloud. I can understand only that no one can stop the onward progress of the Supreme Will. I understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has appeared in the family of Yadus to decrease the burdensome load on this earth. Very amazing how Dhritarashtra is thinking. Prabhupada explains, Dhritarashtra hinted to Akura that he had complete faith in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, he was very partial to his family members. In the very near future, Krishna would vanquish all the members of his family, and in a helpless condition, Dhritarashtra would take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, which is what happens. After the battle of Kurukshetra, where is Dhritarashtra saying?
Yudhisthira's
house. Who comes? Vidura. Vidura tells him on his face, get out. Look at you. Are you no shame? Come out now. You're old. You're coughing up mucus. Your liver is defective. So finally, Dhritarashtra hears. He leaves. Who follows? Gandhari. Dhritarashtra performs that yoga and his body bursts into flames. And what does Gandhari do? She enters that burning cottage.
Yes.
Yes. To show his special favor to a devotee, Krishna usually takes away all the objects of one's material affection, thus forcing the devotee to be materially helpless with no alternative but to accept the lotus feet of Krishna. This actually happened to Dhritarashtra after the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Dhritarashtra could realize two opposing factors before him. One, he could understand that Krishna was there to remove all the unnecessary burdens of the earth. His sons were an unnecessary burden, and so he expected that they would be killed. At the same time, he could not rid himself of his unlawful action for his sons. Understanding these two contradictory factors, he offered his respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because I have a godbrother, and his name is Dhritarashtra Das. So I was always wondering, why did Prabhupada give him the name? But as you can see here, he understood that Krishna was God. He understood exactly what was going to happen. Dhritarashtra further replied, the contradictory ways of material existence are very difficult to understand. They can be taken only as the inconceivable execution of the plan of the Supreme. Who also said a similar thing?
Ravan.
Ravan, what did he say?
He again, not give you reference, but it says that he knew that he has a body, tamasic body, so he cannot do devotion. So he said, if I get killed by him, I get...
Bhishma said to the Pandavas, Nobody can understand the plan of Lord Sri Krishna. Even great thinkers, nobody can understand Krishna's plan. So look at what Dhritarashtra says. The contradictory ways of material existence are very difficult to understand. They can be taken only as the inconceivable execution of the plan of the Supreme. Who's the Supreme? Who by His inconceivable energy creates this material world, enters into it, sets it into motion with the three modes of nature. When everything is created, He enters into each and every living entity as super soul, and even into the smallest atom. No one can understand the incalculable plans of the Supreme Lord. So that's Dhritarashtra's final statement. Prabhupada wraps it up. After hearing this statement, Akrura could clearly understand that Dhritarashtra was not going to change his policy of discriminating against the Pandavas in favor of his own sons. Akrura at once took leave of his friends in Hastinapur and returned to his home in the kingdom of the Yadus. After returning home, he vividly informed Lord Krishna and Balaram of the actual situation in Hastinapur and the intentions of Dhritarashtra. Akrura was sent to Hastinapur by Krishna to study these, and by the grace of the Lord, he was successful. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 49th chapter of Krishna entitled Ill-Motivated Dhritarashtra. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.